Libya has made some dramatic changes in recent years. First, it renounced terrorism and handed over the prime suspect in the Lockerbie bombing. Then, 4 years ago, the government handed over its nuclear weapons program to the United States. Those moves helped end decades of international isolation. However, changes inside Libya have come much more slowly. There is talk of reform, but after 38 years in power, the regime of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi appears ill-equipped or unwilling to open up completely to the outside world. NPR's Ivan Watson reports from Tripoli.
The officials at Libyan Arab Airlines were proud to take foreign journalists aboard their newest purchase, a Canadian-built CRJ-900 passenger jet. It came complete with a Canadian crew to train the plane's new owners.
So please fasten your seatbelt by inserting the metal clip into the buckle.
Captain Salah El-Lamouchi says this is the first new plane the airline has purchased since 1980.
Is this a symbol for you of things to come in Libya?
Certainly. I mean, once things start to go better, we hope they will never go back to the way they were before.
He pointed to more than a dozen old planes which lay discarded in the grass next to the tarmac. They are the result, Libyan officials say, of decades of sanctions which prevented Libya from importing new planes or spare parts. 4 years after United Nations sanctions were lifted, Libya appears to be opening up. Very slowly. On September 1st, the government organized parades to celebrate the 38th year of the revolution, the bloodless military coup which ousted the Libyan monarchy and swept then-Captain Muammar Gaddafi to power. Juma Abdul Khair, a Libyan government spokesman, insists Gaddafi's revolution is still relevant.
The revolution is a movement, sir, and the movement It's dynamic. Dynamic in its right direction. As long as it serves the masses, then it's good.
Gaddafi's face still decorates billboards across a country that often appears stuck in the 1970s. Most of the buildings here are painted white and green, the colors of Gaddafi's Green Book. Issued in 1976, this utopian manifesto calls for, among other things, abolishing the, quote, dictatorship of the private sector.
We have been for some time under the effect of a very dogmatic interpretation of the Green Book, wherein everything has to be tied to this dogmatic interpretation.
Yusuf Sawani is the director of the Gaddafi Foundation. Led by one of Gaddafi's sons, Saif al-Islam, the organization is trying to usher in a new era of pragmatism in Libya. In a country where people are terrified of publicly criticizing the regime, Sawani openly challenges Libya's ruling elite, which Saif al-Islam once labeled a mafia.
We had people who are stakeholders, different stakeholders here, different people who are within the political elite, who are still tied to their dogmatic interpretation and dogmatic ideas, and they never realize that the world around them is changing.
Last month, the foundation launched two new newspapers and a TV channel, bringing an end to a decades-long monopoly by Libyan state TV. Fatma Abushewa works at the new TV station.
Libya now is going to change its policy and to be look like the other countries, the developing countries.
She says one goal of the TV station is to address inefficiency and corruption in the Libyan government.
You could not discuss government mistakes before.
No, not before. This is one of the new steps.
The Libyan state apparatus is notoriously opaque. For example, there are no government phone directories. So to communicate with Libyan decision makers, Western diplomats sometimes call other embassies in Tripoli to get the personal cell phone numbers of top officials. But despite an ineffective bureaucracy, Libya has the highest per capita income in Africa, thanks to oil exports. The relatively small population here enjoys big government subsidies on everything from housing to cars, food, and fuel. Khalid Bazelia of the World Center for the Study of the Green Book warns that Libyans can't rely on oil revenues forever.
If everything being subsidized by the government, then people become very lazy, and you know that.
Yousef Sawani of the Qaddafi Foundation is pushing for diversification of the oil-dominated economy, but he concedes it will take time to win back the confidence of Libyan entrepreneurs.
Definitely, definitely. Between the years 1978 and, let me say, probably 1995, there was no room for private sector. There was no room for entrepreneurship. And we had to fight to win those back.
Qaddafi has periodically targeted the private sector with waves of property confiscation and at one point a ban on all privately owned restaurants, law firms, and the entire retail sector. Local businessman Khalid Izaidi says in recent years some onerous restrictions have been removed.
It's easier than before, because before you will a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of documentation, you will need it. Now the weather is changing and I can establish a company in fast and easy way.
Since Libya renounced its support of terrorism, the leaders of France and Britain have traveled here to meet with Gaddafi and to announce multi-million dollar trade deals. These days, potential foreign investors gather in the lobby of Tripoli's $400 a night Carinthia Hotel. But some of the businessmen here curse Libya's antiquated banking system and complex visa restrictions, saying the country has years to go before it can deal with the rest of the world in international trade. Outside the hotel, signs advertise the future construction of flashy glass and steel towers, the kind that have sprouted up across the oil-rich Persian Gulf. Qaddafi's son, Saif al-Islam, is taking the lead in efforts to modernize his country, in part, say observers here, because he's positioning himself to one day take over as Libya's next leader. But the scope and pace of his proposed reforms still rest in the hands of one man. Amid the ancient Roman statues of the Tripoli Museum, a guide takes a visitor to a battered sky blue Volkswagen.
This is the leader's car.
This is the car Muammar Gaddafi drove before he seized control of Libya in 1969. Today, many Libyans are waiting to see where Gaddafi will take his country next. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Tripoli.